welcome to the buck stops here. It's going to be a long, hot summer and one ridden with drought and despair. At least 10 states are reeling under an acute crisis. Farmers' suicides are on the rise. Rivers and reservoirs are running dry. The worst drought in a century is forcing states to deploy security personnel to guard water sources. People are walking kilometers for a liter of drinking water, and farmers are migrating to cities and living in camps. In the midst of this, as NDTV has reported, a tanker mafia with many politicians owning a piece of the pie is seeing booming business, and thousands of liters of water are being used to contain dust on helipads as ministers land in Latur. P. Sainath once said, "Everyone loves a good drought, but with the human cost so high, where will we draw the line?"
11-year-old Lalita Chavan didn't get the chance to take her class 5 exams as her parents packed her off to the city with her uncle and aunt to escape the drought in Marathwada. Now in the city, she looks after her cousins so that her uncle and aunt can take up a job and send money home. Left to themselves through the day, as their relatives make frantic attempts to look for work, they have molded themselves into their new roles without a fuss, watching over younger siblings and assuming adult responsibilities. They are the silent sufferers of the drought, keen on going back home, but they don't know when.
तुला काय कल्पना आहे घरी कधी परत तू जाऊ शकशील?
पाणी पडल्यावर.
These are heartbreaking stories of those who've had to leave and literally flee their homes just to make a living here in the uncertainties of Mumbai, which even means losing out on their childhood. In Thane, with camera person Rajendra Darakar, Kithi Angre for NDTV.
Well, the drought in Maharashtra, it's the worst the state has seen in a century. And as we said, of course, there are farmers, as Ketki reported, moving to these migrant camps. But desperate times are calling for desperate measures, not just by farmers who've been affected, but stung by growing instances of water theft. The Gujarat government has increased surveillance along pipelines of the Narmada Canal that carry drinking water to parched areas of Saurashtra and Kutch. The State Reserve Police Force now guards these pipelines.
Desperate measures to preserve water that is now becoming scarce. Policemen from the State Reserve Force patrolling the pipelines of the Narmada Canal that carry drinking water to parched areas of Kutch and Saurashtra. Pilferage from the pipelines have forced the government to put water under guard, quite literally. NDTV accompanied a patrolling team in Surendranagar in Saurashtra, and this is what we found. This is one of the air valves of the Narmada water pipeline, which is going right beneath me. In fact, this is one of the 165 air valves which are here on a 52-kilometer stretch in Surendranagar district. And desperate measures in desperate times, as you can see behind me, SRP constables, they have been deployed here as the team of the water supply board. They go on carrying out checks, trying to crack down on those who carry out water thefts. The state government recently stopped providing Narmada water for irrigation after declaring over 1,000 villages as water scarcity hit. Priority is now drinking water, especially in the affected areas of Saurashtra, Kutch and central Gujarat. In most cases, water was being stolen for irrigation purpose. In the last 15 days alone, 30 odd theft cases have been detected.
रोज प्रॉब्लम रहता है. ये 20 किलोमीटर का जो एरिया आता है उसमें रोज रात को हम बंद करते हैं पानी तो जैसे दूसरे दिन चालू कर देते फार्मर्स
चोरी करेंगे लोग ये सब असामाजिक तत्व है ये लोग ही करते हैं ये हिसाब से आगे वाले गांव में या तो यहां से बाद के जो एरिया है उसको पानी कम मिलेगा सब एरिया उसके लिए गवर्नमेंट ने सब उसकी मशीनरी उसकी हेल्प हमें दी है रेवेन्यू डिपार्टमेंट है पुलिस डिपार्टमेंट है ये आप देख रहे हैं एसआरपी बॉर्डर सिक्योरिटी फोर्स के बॉर्डर विंग के आदमी लोग हैं
But the farmers put the blame on the state government. With only 11% water left in reservoir and Narmada water stopped for irrigation, farmers say their options are limited.
પીવા માટે નું ઢોરને પીવા માટે નાવા ધોવા માટે ઢોરને આપણે લીધો ઘાસ કરવો હોય તો એ તકલીફ પડે.
And with water sources running dry, the desperation will only get worse. In Surendranagar, with camera person Nitwar Parmar, Rohit Ban for NDTV.
Well, to talk about this acute crisis and of course the fact that many states have ignored drought manuals that tell them what steps to take preemptively, as there has been 2 years at least of a successive bad monsoon leading to these drought conditions. We have with us, joining us from Mumbai, we have Shaina NC, the BJP spokesperson, Priyanka Chaturvedi of the Congress joining us. We also have from his residence, writer and activist Harsh Mandar joining us, and in studio, him Himanshu Thakkar of the South Asian Network on Dams, Rivers and People. Thank you all for being with me on the show tonight. Shaina NC, I want to actually start by asking you, because we're talking about the fact that Marathwada and Maharashtra is one of the worst hit, it's the worst drought that the state is seeing in perhaps a century. And yet, there seems to be indication that drought manuals that have been written to preempt certain conditions have been ignored by the state government repeatedly. We've talked now yesterday, you've reacted as well, of a minister who used 10,000 litres of water to make sure dust wouldn't fly on a helipad. It just seems like a shame. I mean, where is the sensitivity at this point in time?
Maya, do allow me to give you a very honest reply. The situation is grave, no doubt. You have places in Marathwada, Vidarbha, whether it's Osmanabad, Bid, Latur, Parbhani, Jalna, etc., which are the most affected. To say that we are not doing our job or have not done enough, I think is the most unfair assessment. You had 15 years of a Congress NCP rule, a 70,000 crore irrigation scam, where not even 1% of the land was irrigated post-spending that kind of money. Hmm. So the current scenario is in Marathwada, of the 11 major dams, you have 7 which don't even have a drop of water. The irrigated land in Maharashtra and the water in the dams is not even 22%, of which Marathwada has hardly a dismal 5%.
Hmm.
Now, what have we done? In these 2 years, whether it's a Jalyuk Shivar, where we have constructed 1,20,000 constructions to ensure that every raindrop that comes in this rainfall is saved and properly used for irrigation, whether it is drip irrigation, whether it's 5 lakh solar pumps, whether it is ensuring that the story that you just narrated on your package, they'll be giving educational loans not just to kids for primary and secondary school, but also up to post-graduation, which
right.
is the first time it has happened. When it's fodder for the cattle, this has been implemented since August. And yesterday, when Eknath Khadse finally went with all the collectors and tehsildars to Latur, 30 lakh liters of water has been released from a defunct dam that was not even allowed access to. And this has been done in a historic period of 15 days. So when we were sending just about 10 wagons and sending 5,40,000 liters a day, today you have 35 lakh liters reaching every single day till the first day of rainfall.
Shaina, so I just want to, I'm going to interrupt you there, Shaina. I'm going to interrupt you there and I'm going to bring in Priyanka as well. It's not about the BJP versus the Congress, because the Karnataka government, we are saying, when we talk about states not following drought manuals, the Karnataka government is as liable as any other state government. Priyanka Chaturvedi, it's the highest level of farmer suicides in Karnataka in 10 years.
No, absolutely. Like you mentioned, it's not about a Congress government or the Bharatiya Janata Party government. And besides this, there is also Haryana, Uttar Pradesh, many other states which are affected with this drought. But having said that, as long as there is an intent to ensure that whatever challenges that are being faced, whether it is Karnataka or Maharashtra, it has to be looked into and also probably highlighted, the activities that are taking place and the measures that the government is taking in order to ensure that people get their rightful amount of water.
Right.
What happened, it looks insensitive when you have a revenue minister who chooses the helicopter route to land in a place which is parched because of, you know, drought like situations there, and people have been suffering because of lack of water, and 10,000 liters of water are wasted just to settle in the land where he's going to be landing. So this is when you create perceptions and you build this kind of entire insensitive narrative. And Maharashtra government, I have been following your reports, Maharashtra government by many farmers have been accused of not doing enough, knowing that there's a drought-like situation prevailing for the last 2 years and not doing enough.
I think that's also, Priyanka, if I may say,
a lot of things here, a lot of activities that have happened. Unfortunately, it hasn't reached the people.
Priyanka, if I may say, that's also fine, fair point, but that's a deflection of the original question I asked, which is about Karnataka. But I'm going to bring in my other panelists over here. I will give you a chance to respond, Shaina, in just a moment. Himanshu Thakkar and Harsh Mandar. Himanshu, let me come to you first, because, you know, this is not about a political blame game at this point in time. We are seeing at least 10 states in the country that have been hit by the drought. They all have different state governments. So it's not about the BJP versus the Congress. I think the fact is there are these manuals that have been written where they talk about how tankers should be a last resort. Reservoirs are running dry. You have patrolmen guarding water sources, protecting them from water theft. It really is a crisis.
Indeed, actually, it's possibly the worst summer that India is facing in post-independent India. And neither central government nor any of the state government seems to be realizing the gravity of the situation. It's a very grim situation. The minister using 10,000 liters for helipad, or the, you know, water allocated for IPL, or water getting dried up in the Manjira and lower Terna dam in same Latur district because of the sugar factories, or lush green golf courses. I saw whole valley of golf courses in Pune district last 10 days back, or 3 billion cubic meters of water getting transferred from Bhima and Krishna basin of Maharashtra, which are drought hit, to Konkan area, which is a high rainfall area. Even in this drought year, that was not stopped. We wrote to them in July itself that should be stopped. All of these are actually symptoms of a disease. The disease is complete lack of any water allocation policy and water allocation mechanism. And because of that, you know, they are taking pride that we have taken train loads of water to Latur.
Yeah.
But the point is, if they had managed the crisis right from the point where the crisis arrived till date, they need not have taken any water through tanker, through trains. Even in the same Latur district, as your report saying, hotels have water.
We've reported that as well.
And tanker mafia is getting as much water as they want.
Okay.
In the same Maharashtra, there is a Solapur district
where
collector could follow what you are saying, the drought manual, and show that how it is possible to acquire the sources developed by the government and provide water where it is required.
Harsh Mandar, what does it say about where things are headed? You're hearing Himanshu Thakkar say this is possibly the worst drought in independent India, and it's going to be a very grim summer. There seems to be messages that are not being heeded. They haven't gone through. He's pointing out how they have been in touch with state governments as well on preemptive measures that have not been addressed. But this, you know, this issue of how you have now patrolmen guarding water sources, preventing people from water theft, a migration that's taking place into urban centers that are already under such stress as far as resources are concerned. Where are we heading as a society under these extreme drought conditions?
Maya, I think the question that you've asked is appropriate, and, you know, just to be make it clear, I'm not talking about the BJP government or the earlier Congress government. I think both are extremely culpable in what I'm going to say. But I think that what we are witnessing across about the last generation or half a generation is an extraordinary transformation in even the idea of government. I mean, I recall the years that I was in the districts in Chhattisgarh and Madhya Pradesh, late 80s was a similar period where we had four recurring years of drought. And it was, you know, the whole country, it was like the number one issue for the state government, for the central government. You know, night and day, you know, we were only preparing, working. I remember in my district, we were creating 1 lakh person days of work every single day. We had a right to draw money from the treasury without any clearances. We had to run fodder camps. We created about 1,000 tanks during that period. We were responsible to ensure that gratuity kitchens were being run for people who were hungry and destitute. Today, if you look at a similar kind of situation, it's as if for the state, it's one of those very peripheral concerns. And I think it reflects both on what we've become as a society, where the suffering of enormous suffering and avoidable suffering of more than half our population is not an issue at all. I mean, we're more worried about how we're going to get our car on every alternate day in the nation's capital. I mean, that's occupying more media
mind space,
and public attention and mind space than the fact that I was in Bundelkhand a little while back, and they were feeding children rotis with some wild leaves, and I tried to bite into it. It was really bitter. I asked them, why are you feeding them this? And they said the merit of this is that after eating it you don't feel hungry for a day. We've reached levels of hunger. We've reached levels of desperation. The broken childhoods that you talked about so sensitively in the report just now. I think that we are witnessing a human tragedy of colossal scale. And even colonial governments had those manuals. They were, that you had to create person days. Now we have a NREGA. They say we don't need to create works. But the NREGA, the allocations that have been made are not enough to even fulfill the 100 days kind of responsibility. I was calculating, 66, we need, the details we won't have time for, but we have not even for a regular year in NREGA, we don't have enough resources allocated. If we are talking about a drought year with, and this is really, I think, reflecting on all of us. As much as it reflects on our governments.
Okay, and I think that's really what we are trying to say. I mean, Shaina and Priyanka, it's really not about which party is in power today and which government is in power and which state and at the center. The issue is that these are signs and these are warnings that have been ignored repeatedly year after year after year by government after government, irrespective of the political party at the top. So, Shaina, let me ask you, you've heard Himanshu Thakkar, you've heard what Harshmandar have said.
Yes.
We need solutions. We need to stop this issue of who was in power for 15 years, who is in power today. You're talking about immediate short-term
Absolutely.
Solutions. What are we doing long-term? The Met Department says expect a good monsoon, but God forbid there isn't one again this year. What then?
Maya, I think that's a very valid question, and let me be very honest when I answer. Jalyuk Shivar is not me wanting a certificate from anybody. Take somebody who's an independent water conservationist like Rajendra Singh, the Jal Purush. He himself says that this is a game changer for Maharashtra. By March 2017, you will have 20,000 villages which are absolutely self-sufficient, irrespective of climatic conditions, irrespective of erratic rainfall or, for that matter, hailstorm, etc. Now, global warming is a phenomena that we all have to deal with collectively. What are the solutions that we can come up with when you have extreme drought and extreme floods, for example? We have to use technology to the best. We have to make sure that we have cash-rich crops where the farmers are absolutely equipped and empowered to make a livelihood irrespective of climatic conditions. We have given these solar pumps not just as a token to farmers, but to make them realize how important it is to have energy conserved and energy well used as well. If you're asking about long-term solutions, look at states like Gujarat and Madhya Pradesh, where they have sheer drip irrigation, water conservation, rainwater harvesting, upped their actual agricultural benefits.
It has to rain for us to harvest the rainwater, though.
34% and 32%.
Yeah.
Yes. But the point is, the MET has also said that why are we talking about measures from this monsoon itself? Because we don't want to waste one monsoon and say we didn't conserve water.
Right.
It has to be a holistic solution.
Right.
And we can keep talking about subsidies, freebies, SOPs for farmers.
You're right, Shaina. I think it does require,
a holistic solution.
Yeah, it does require a holistic solution.
To have
Priyanka, very quickly, I want you to come in on this as well.
For them.
All right, Shaina. Priyanka, very quickly come in on this because I want to bring our experts back in on the discussion before we run out of time. Priyanka, very briefly.
No, it's very interesting that she talks about holistic solutions and the Bharatiya Janata Party is talking about holistic solutions and showing political will to make changes. But it's extremely unfortunate when the Supreme Court has to remind the central government that, hey, listen, there are 9 states suffering from drought and what measures have been taken. That is when you start questioning the political will and you start questioning whether they really have a plan in place. And considering it's one of the worst droughts to hit the country in a century, then obviously you need a lot of political will and you need a lot of vision and you need a lot of planning. You do not need a Supreme Court reminding you to do that.
Okay. All right. That's a fair point, Himanshu Thakkar, because the Supreme Court has asked why certain states are not being declared drought hit by the center. That's something that we've been reporting as well.
Yes, they have reprimanded both Gujarat and Haryana for not declaring drought. Coming back to what Saina was saying about Maharashtra Jalyukta Shivir. See, while they are doing some districts some good work in Jalyukta Shivir, at the same time they are funding the same irrigation projects under which, you know, there was a scam. She was talking about 70,000 crores. 20,000 crores being spent for that and 1,400 crores for Jalyukta Shivir. And even Jalyukta Shivir is limited area they are doing work. I think, unfortunately, High Court, when they said that there will be no IPL in April and May in Maharashtra, they should have actually gone a step further. And they should have said that they should have looked at what is whether who allocated water for IPL, on what basis it was allocated. Is there a water allocation policy? Is there a water allocation mechanism district wise? Because this is also part of the drought manual. And that is not being either, there is no mechanism, there is no policy. And because of that, this kind of ad hocism is getting away with. So this is what needs to be done. Media, judiciary is the only hope possibly, because the government is not going to do on its own.
Right. It is up to us, the citizens, to actually make the change. Harshmandir, I'm going to give you the last word on this, because, you know, really, as Himanshu Thakkar is pointing out, we need to now find ways to do this for ourselves. And what can we as citizens do to alleviate? I mean, one can't preempt it, one can't prevent it now. We depend on the rainfall of this year. But what can we do in our own individual limited capacities to ensure that the crisis does not spiral any further than it already has?
I think let's be mindful every single day for the coming months that there's something like about 300 million people who are at the edge of hunger and starvation. That their situation is going to get worse as the months pass. That we have, on the other hand, we have stocks of 60-70 million tons of grain rotting in our warehouses.
Yeah.
Can we demand that we start large-scale food for work programs, that we start kitchens for the homeless, for the hungry and the destitute? These are things that even colonial governments did. These are not new inventions. Large fodder camp. We're talking about, you know, our love for the cow. We need to really have very large fodder camps in order to protect people. Are desperately doing distress sales or letting their cattle move. I think that the solutions that the creation of work and soup kitchens, these kinds of things are things that we have to do on a very large scale for millions of people. It has to be the country's highest priority. And I'm really glad that the last couple of weeks I've seen you all carry stories. It's brought some of that to our drawing rooms. Let's keep up that, keep our heart and our conscience and our vision right there with the people who are suffering. And it's avoidable suffering. 30 years ago, 40 years ago, we didn't have the grain, we didn't have the resources.
In fact, today, that's what they always say, that a drought is very often a man-made crisis, because we have not taken the right steps that could have prevented this. And I think going forward, as Harshmandir is saying, and we close it on that point, that we need to be mindful every day in our day-to-day lives that there is a crisis of hunger, there is a crisis in the country, and find ways to make that the headline of the day and not whether we have an odd numbered car or an even numbered car, as Harshmandir pointed out, as the priority. Really, what are we talking about? But I think that's something all of us need to think about this weekend. We'll have to leave it on the buck stops here. But please, as we said, be mindful of the fact that there is a crisis in at least 10 states in the country tonight. Good night.